is up. It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Patrick Nagato. He is the author of The Canoe and the Current. He is a retirement income and wealth transfer expert. We had a great conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. We got into a lot of the challenges that we people are facing these days with trying to find the right signal when there's so much noise going on, trying to keep money simple, trying to make sure that we have all of our needs met, and the challenges of not only saving enough for retirement, but then creating retirement income that will last for as long as we need it to. And how do we do that in an efficient way and a smart way that's going to bring us peace of mind? And we, of course, close with a great difference-making tip on how to evaluate and select the right financial advisor for you and your situation. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Patrick, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Two truths and a lie. Okay. Number one, I was a child model. Number two, I was a body double for Dean Cain in the Superman series, Lois and Clark. Then number three, I sold a pair of shoes to Jason Newsted, former Metallica bassist. Actually, several pair of shoes, if you want to call it that.
Oh, these are amazing. You're a child model. Excellent. Your body double to Dean Cain. And you sold Jason Newsted some pairs of shoes. Well, you're a very, very handsome man, so I believe both one and two. But one of those, I think, is not true necessarily. I'm going to guess that you were never body double to Dean Cain.
That was good. Very good. Very good. You'd be amazed how popular I was with the ladies back then, just because I wore glasses and 50 pounds lighter. And they all said, you look like Superman. I was like, great. Okay.
You nice. For sure have that vibe. There's no doubt about that. Okay. Child model. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So as a child, we had a neighbor who worked for Dial Soap, and she was in marketing. And she asked us as a family, except for my sister, unfortunately. So my poor sister was not in the picture. So it was like my father, my mother, and me, and another girl as my sister, did a Dial Soaps poster. And it was all over the supermarkets, right? And so we would go shopping and people would recognize us. And that was kind of really cool.
For sure.
So I tried to parlay that into actual commercials, but I could not get through. I could not pass a screen test. I was too shy back then.
Got it. Well, that's a cool story. And selling shoes to Jason Newsted, how did that work out?
That was great. Hopefully he's not watching, but I actually kept his American Express signature because it's different from his autograph, right? I eventually shredded it. But this was years ago when I worked at Nordstrom, and they were releasing their Load album. And Jason Newsted lived in the same town I did. And I've seen him actually several times after that, but he needed a pair of shoes for the launch party. So he bought three pair of really expensive shoes because he could afford it. And would see him occasionally at the store with his, I think, girlfriend. Maybe he married her now. I have a picture of my wife with him in the background at the restaurant where we're eating. So I would always tease her. I wish I had one of the CDs so I could have him sign it, but didn't have it. But I never bothered him. And then last but not least, he actually saw him at a pet store, and he pet my dog, Wally. Well, Wally's long gone, but he goes, hey, look at your cute dog. And he pets him. Well, hey, you're Jason Newsted. Nice to meet you, right? But anyway, so that's, I've run into him a couple of times in the same town we lived in. So
nice. And you're a Metallica fan, obviously.
Clearly. I had a couple more anecdotes, but I wasn't sure if one of their concerts back in 1991, I ended up with James Hetfield's beer cup because he was passing it on to people. I kept that for a while, but I'm like, unless we do a DNA test, no one's going to care. So after like 3 or 4 years, I threw it away. But yeah, huge, huge Metallica fan. So
that's awesome. Then yeah, you totally hold on to that beer cup, even though
I'm probably aging myself at this point. So
no, I think that brushes with our favorite musicians are few and far between. So to have that opportunity to get an autograph or to get a guitar pick or a glass of beer or whatever, I think that that's super cool. So I'm totally approve, Patrick.
Excellent, so I guess, man. The child model was believable, huh?
For sure.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Well, for those of you who are not watching, there is a striking resemblance to Dean Cain, so that was a tough one. But so the model thing was definitely believable. Anyway,
Okay.
well, excited to dig into everything. What's top of mind for you right now?
Well, as we are at the tail end of baby boomers retiring, right? And as a Gen Xer, we're now on the beginning phase of that. And as with anything else, I think as I've been in the financial services business for almost 30 years, it's the same theme. What do we do with what we have? And then in addition to that, there's too much information, too many opinions that we don't know what to do with it. And who should we believe? And the main theme, of course, at the end of the day is when somebody retires, is how long is this thing going to last? Right. So I wrote my book, The Canoe and the Current. And I didn't want it to just be any other financial book or retirement planning book. So what I have in this book is essentially stories of people I've dealt with in the past. Obviously, names have been changed a little bit. I mean, some of my clients who've read this book will probably be able to say, "Hey, that's me," but at least their names are not revealed. But essentially, it's a couple things. It's navigating through the noise, right? So the traditional model of as you get older, let's scale back on equities, right? Do maybe a 60-40 split, then do the 4% withdrawal rate, and let's pray to God it lasts us forever, right? And no one really knows. So let's hope the market's not too volatile, and that's why you do a 60-40 split and things like that. So nowadays you have other financial tools that's going to give you a higher income payout, right? So the purpose behind the canoe and the current is really twofold. You need to have two things at retirement, but you need to have the most important thing, which is a canoe, right? So let's assume retirement is you make it up to the mountain. You're now going to ride that stream or that river all the way downstream, and the current's going to be rough at times. The current's going to be smooth at times, but what you want is a solid canoe, right? So the canoe represents your essentials, right? Have your essentials taken care of. Make sure that no. So identify what those essentials are. So is it mortgage if you still have it, property taxes perhaps, insurance, food, some pleasure expenses, right? Because you want to do that, and that way that's taken care of. Your guaranteed income per se, right? And then the current portion of it is the downstream that you want it to be rough at times, you want it to be fast at times, but what you don't want to do is jump ship. So if you have a solid canoe, you can invest in market type investments that's going to get you to your destination faster. And then what you want is occasionally harvest from that. You harvest from it for vacations, gifting to family, children or grandchildren education, and or replenishing your canoe if you want to. Right. But the purpose of it is to simplify your finances so you're not worried about it anymore. You can just live a happy retirement, right? Instead of trying to manage it all over and over again or trying to outsmart the market. So in this case, we'll let the job do it for us because you now have your guaranteed income, and then we can let the market do its thing because ultimately the market always makes us money. It's just different cycles.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that's a beautiful metaphor. It hasn't been that long since we all had pensions, and so we didn't have to worry about anything. We didn't have to worry about the noise or even concern ourselves because I would retire and then I'd just turn the pension on and money would show up as it always had. And obviously, back when you were a kid in the 80s, 401ks became the thing, and it's hard to figure out how to save enough money, but then really hard to figure out how to actually turn it into income, to your point, that'll last for as long as we need it to. And I don't know too many people that want to be 85 years old or 90 years old having to make decisions about where to pull money from. So
Right.
I
It's funny you mentioned that because there are really only two things that don't ever want to happen once you're retired. Do you know what those are?
not sure.
Okay, first things first is you don't want to have to go back to work. If you're going to go back to work, it's because you want to, not because you have to, right? And the second thing is you never want to have to ask your children for money, right? I think that would indicate perhaps maybe they won't articulate it, but internally, I think they would feel like you've failed in some respects, right? Right. And so, and then additionally, as you mentioned, the pension, right? What do pensions do? It gives you guaranteed income, right? So what's the first thing that happens when somebody retires? They lose their biweekly paycheck. And so that's a huge adjustment for people. What should I do now that, you know, actually, I just had this conversation the other day. I don't know if I should take the income I should get from my IRA and just take the whole amount and put it in the bank, or if I should take it out monthly from my IRA or whatever it might be. And I said, yeah, I mean, what are you accustomed to? Do you want that paycheck every 2 weeks? Then I would take a withdrawal every 2 weeks, right? But if you can withstand just putting it in the bank and then using it, I would do that too. It's really up to you. But that's a huge adjustment for people, is not having a paycheck.
I mean, it's giant, right? The psychological change. And oh my gosh, I'd be probably terrified that I'm going to spend it all and I'll run out of money. And then what do I do? Then I have to go back to work or ask my kids for money.
That's the point. So if you have the canoe, that's for your essentials. If you want to go on vacation, harvest from the current, right? Or draw some water from the current, right? That's the idea. So that you're never worried about running out of money on the canoe side. So it's pretty much that metaphor worked for a client who was afraid to make a move because he had enough money, and I had to remind him, you actually do have enough. He says, but what if it doesn't last? Right. I said, funny enough, because early in my career, one of the first things I learned, and it reminded me, is even wealthy people fear running out of money, right? More than anything else, right? So actually the term of the firm I worked with back then is even wealthy people fear running out of money more than they fear taxes, right? Or state taxes for that matter. But the state tax situation has kind of improved since then.
Yeah, so. Talking about all that noise, there's always something making noise, if it's taxes or it's estate taxes or, I mean, any number of things.
Right.
These are all valid concerns. I mean, taxes, could they go up? Could they go down? Are we going to have property tax in the state that I live in? Will we not? How do I manage all that? And it's overwhelming, even if you're working in the business.
Right. And the one thing about our business, too, is in some respects... So in my almost 30 years of doing this, I've become a little bit cynical about our industry, right? Because we're given a lot of ideas, and sometimes these ideas are appropriate and other times it's not. In addition to that, I remember in 1997 when it first came on, that's when the Roth IRA first came out, right? And so they were encouraging people to do a Roth, perhaps convert their tax deductible accounts into a Roth. And then they gave you 5 years to pay off the tax. And that was okay. But the point is, I always like to tell clients is, listen, are you better off letting that grow, or are you better off paying that tax today in the hopes of saving money on taxes in the future? And they said, well, yeah, but because they keep telling us the taxes are going to go up in the future. And again, that's been a common theme for almost 30 years for me. And it hasn't quite happened. If anything, taxes have kind of gone down. Right? So, it was an opportunity for some of us to have new clients and discuss it, but I just thought it was kind of just a way to get people to act on something, whether it made sense or not. And again, I don't really, again, being a little bit more cynical about ideas we get from laws or from the companies we've worked with before, I'm a little more pragmatic with my approach. I like to simplify things as much as I can and just help people understand this is how simple as it gets, right? We don't need to make it complicated.
Yeah, our industry is, I remember reading that Daniel Kahneman referred to the financial industry as an entire industry built on the illusion of skill. I thought, hoo-hoo-hoo, got him. And so many of these new products that are coming out are so complicated that I think that 90% of the people that sell them don't understand them, and certainly consumers don't. So going and leaning into simplicity is, I think, very, very, very wise, because complicated is, to solve a complicated problem, we don't need more complexity.
Right. And in some of those products, probably like you, it took me a good 3, 4, 5 times of studying it to really understand it. And again, even then, you're not getting the whole picture necessarily, right? You really, and sometimes you really do have to dig deep into the prospectus and really read through those thousands of pages or hundreds of pages to really get the nitty gritty. But anyway.
So the canoe, it is an insurance product of some kind.
So the canoe consists of the following: Social Security income, pension, if you still have that opportunity, and then you want to consider good paid out annuities, right? And there's too many annuities to choose from, but just making sure you get one that pays you out for as long as you live, with the ability to increase the income based on additional deposits in the future, right? Again, we're going to harvest from the current, right? When there's enough there to kind of replenish the canoe. You're not technically replenishing it, you're just adding to it so your income increases over time. So that's kind of how you grow your money, your income from a cost of living, but keeping up with inflation, so to speak, right? So that's the canoe, right? So.
Well, that certainly makes sense. So just taking into consideration the sources of, for lack of a better term, the guaranteed income. If we have Social Security and a pension, that's great. If we probably everybody will have Social Security, not necessarily a pension. So how do you create that more guaranteed income that will cover a lot of your fixed expenses, so you don't have to worry about those?
Perfect. Yep, exactly.
Okay. And then once we've done that, then we have the ability, because we've, for lack of a better term, given ourselves permission, because we have our monthly nut covered. And so now I can still be invested in the stock market and be less concerned with losing money because I already have the guarantees.
Correct. In the current side, now you don't have to worry about being at 100% equities if you don't want to, right? If you want to be 100% equities, you can now handle that, hopefully emotionally. In addition to that, there are structured products where you can have market returns with protection, with buffer protection, anywhere between negative 10 to as much as negative 30% protection, right? So those come in several forms, whether it's unit investment trusts, registered index linked annuities is another option, or some funds offer downside protection as well. So if you're worried about market volatility, then you can certainly do that. But I've always kind of had this philosophy, because I've just kind of learned it over the years of doing this. Nothing wrong with bond investing. The problem is it just doesn't give you much on a rate of return basis, right? So if you really want your money to grow over time, and you have to plan to live for 30 years when you retire or more, then you really don't want to compromise your equity exposure. Perhaps you don't need to be aggressive. So again, index investing is great. Invest in just the S&P 500 index if you want to, because at the end of the day, there's just all kinds of statistics. You're invested for at least 10 years, 90% of the time you're making money. 15 years, it's pretty much 99% of the time. And then 20 years, 100% of the time you're making money, right? And so I tell people, let's not try to outsmart the market. Let's just participate.
I like it. Getting back to the simplicity.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful. Because I'm not the most, I'm not that smart. You know, I'm not, and if I was very smart, I'd probably have a hedge fund by now.
Fair. Yeah. Fair point, Patrick. I like it. Well, you've already given us a lot, but we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
You know, one of the things I always say to people in my speeches and or when I'm talking to people, is people are funny when it comes to money, right? It's very personal. They don't want to share. They're embarrassed. Even if they're doing well, they don't want to seem like they're bragging. And yes, that's all fair and right. But you should at least share it with your family. They need to know what your plans are for your money, right? And they need to know how you value it. In addition to that, I think this is one thing. Another thing I think that's very important Try not to be a do-it-yourselfer. And I'm not saying that from a selfish standpoint. The problem is it's very hard for you to be objective about your finances. I mean, if you're in the business, it's different, right? But if you're somebody who's not familiar with the markets, don't try to do it on your own because you're going to draw information from all kinds of people or all kinds of media outlets. And some of that information might apply to somebody else, but not necessarily to you. So I would say be careful about the information you take. Try not to do it on your own, but you also have to be careful about who you work with. Because I've had clients who were taken advantage of by people and I've taken over their accounts. In fact, one of my clients who read my book, she said, she actually, I saw her a couple of weeks ago when I was back in California. She walked into my office and was crying. She says, "You know, when my husband died, you were the only one who helped me out, number one, but number two, you didn't take advantage of me. And after reading your book, I now realize you are going to be the person who's going to know how to help me," right? Because she was still kind of shopping around for an advisor to help her with her retirement plan, right? Even though I've worked with her for 4 years. And we get that. It's okay. I mean, it's your prerogative, right? But the one takeaway I think somebody should really take out of this conversation is when you are talking to somebody, you need to make sure they're either registered with the SEC or registered with FINRA, because there's a lot of people who pose as advisors and all they have is a life insurance license. And I've seen too many horror stories where they're selling people life insurance policies that are not appropriate for them, or even annuities that may not necessarily be appropriate for their situation. But they have to be able to encompass all financial products, not just limited to insurance products. And that I think if you could at least figure that out, and there's ways to find out if the person you're working with has all the licenses, it's just to ensure that you're not going to be taken advantage of. So, not that
Well,
those people won't. George, I have to say, not that they're not capable of taking advantage of you, but there's an extra layer of supervision that falls. So, if for any reason they t you were taken advantage of and you were cheated out of your money, there's FINRA or the SEC that can go after them. So,
I think that that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. Yeah, money is such a unique thing that we don't want to talk to anybody about it. We're so private, but we ought to be talking and sharing our plans with our loved ones. And then to be able to cut through that noise and make good decisions, it's so valuable to be able to find somebody that you can trust, that does know what they're doing, and making sure that those people have the proper experience and licenses or credentials, whatever it might be, is critically important. So, totally agree. Well, Patrick, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you? Where can they get their copy of the Canoe and the Current?
fantastic. The Canoe and the Current is the book. You can find it on Amazon. It's 97 cents of Kindle, 9.97 paperback. However, if you go on Canoe and Current, it's free. The feedback I've gotten so far from reviews, from even people that I know have read it, is you've really simplified it. It's not intimidating to read. It's easy to understand, and you've given us a strategy to work with, whether or not we work with you or somebody else. So I think it's my gift to the world, so to speak. I don't want to sound like I'm some great person like that, but like I said, it's to helpfully cut through all the misinformation and all other opinions. And as my old manager once said, all years ago, almost 30 years ago, said, there is no such thing as a bad product, bad investment product. It's whether it's appropriate or inappropriate for that particular client. So,
Yeah, appreciate that. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Patrick your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to canoeandcurrent.com and get your free copy of The Canoe and the Current. And I mean, I couldn't agree more with Patrick and his approach that just need to simplify things and make sure that you're talking to the right people. So if it resonates, obviously pick up your copy and get in touch with Patrick. Thanks again, Patrick.
George, thank you. I appreciate it. Right.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.